And good morning. Welcome to Mav Day on the Road, brought to you by Cuddleberta Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, right across from Houston Hall on the Cuddleberta Mesa campus. Jim Davis out here today. Buckeye Boyle will be joining me in just a little bit as we talk with Cuddleberta Mesa athletes, coaches. Busy show today. Brad Gamble and Elijah Williams from the CMU men's track team will be joining us. They're hosting the RMAC Championships for the first time coming up this weekend, so we'll talk with them in just a moment. Also, we'll have Troy Moyer from the CMU men's lacrosse team, Maverick men's lacrosse team, getting the number one seed in the RMAC tournament, so they'll be hosting. We'll have him and also Miles Cochaver, Maverick football coach, with the spring game coming up this Friday. He'll be joining us as well out here. Cuddleberta Craft Coffee and Beer House, featuring only Colorado's best coffee and beer. And what they love to do is they love to advocate for all their friends in the craft beer industry, also in the coffee industry as well. All the products here are from the state of Colorado, including their teas, their sodas as well. And if you come in today and get a 16-ounce coffee or 16-ounce beer, I know a couple weeks ago we had a little morning beer, one of their stouts, just a little guy. But there's no charge for the coffee add-ons, by the way. And they have beer flights. They have 8 taps with new on taps weekly. They do their trivia nights every Friday night. They had their 80s trivia night last Friday, which James said went over extremely well. And then every Tuesday night, coming up tonight at 6:30, they have beer bingo as well. You can bring food in from the outside. Just a great environment for the game, after the game, or going over to the RMAC Championships this weekend, grab a coffee or beer here at Cuddleberta Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from CMU. So with us this morning, CMU track coach Brad Gamble, also sprinter Elijah Williams as well. Guys, thanks for stopping by. Elijah's an old regular here at Cuddleberta Craft Coffee and Beer, so he knows the lay of the land here, Brad. So first time for you, right?
Yes. No, I'm glad Elijah's here to kind of help me walk through this thing.
So some recommendations that you have, Elijah, since you're a veteran here.
Oh, I'm not a veteran, I wouldn't say.
Oh, you've been here a couple times,
I've been a couple times. Okay. I like to meet people just so I can, like, build, like, a network once I'm outside of college. I need friends because I don't want to be lonely once I graduate, you know? So I just come here because it's nice, and the coffee's good. I usually get the featured drinks just to keep it simple, or a black and white mocha. But further than that, I'm just like, featured drink. Let's try it out.
Let's just go with that. Exactly. Yeah. It's a Super great recommendation. Simple. Well, the RMAC Championships are coming up this weekend. And I know, Elijah, I think you were saying when you were talking with Coach Gamble before that you got here, and that was when Stoker was still being used for CMU track and field. Mm-hmm. I think they were just the early work for the track facility now. Got to be exciting for you, the RMAC Championships, to get a chance to compete on the place you train, practice. You get to run on your home track for the RMAC Championships.
I've been waiting for this day, okay? When I first got here, we were going to Stoker as well as the Grand Junction High School because we didn't have a facility, but then we finally built one. Got to watch that get built. Got to walk on the foundation of it. Really, really cool. And now we're actually hosting the conference. It's phenomenal. It's a blessing. So I'm really, really excited.
Now, for you, you recently posted a win A to qualifying time, 10.39 seconds to win the men's 100-meter race, and it was actually lower than your facility record with the win aided time, and so counts as an NCAA provisional qualifying mark. You also have the anchor leg of the Maverick men's 4x100 relay as well, so very successful couple of events with the, of course, the relay and the 100 the last time over on your favorite running surface over at CMU.
Yeah, that 10:39 is pretty interesting. I ran a 10:37 at Pueblo, was it 2 weeks before that? And it was just really interesting. I was like, I didn't even expect myself to be running that easily. And I was like, we can literally just go so much faster than that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening with conference. And with the 4x1, it's nice. I really enjoy getting the baton from Merrick, our freshman. Really good at what he does. Runs a phenomenal curve. So I'm like, it's like a pleasure being able to get it from him. And just watching my teammates start. Run, get it off, you know, and just getting around the track is really cool for me. It's more exciting than, like, actually getting my feet down and running.
And talk about the timing that goes into a relay. That people, I think, you just stick the baton in somebody's hand, and, you know, you kind of hit a mark, and then the guy takes off, and it's more complicated than that. It's almost like a ballet, if you will. It's got to be precise. You can't afford to lose a split second. And so that's an important part that I think people sometimes just take for granted when they watch relay events.
It is pretty stressful sometimes. And with, like, for some reason, like, practice me and meet me, two different people completely. So whenever we practice that, whenever we're practicing baton handoffs at practice, I'm not up to where I will be at the meet. So, like, we have to adjust our marks to accommodate for that. But once I get to a meet, I just – it's like a whole brand new person. So I don't really have much room for error because my teammates are like, I don't know what to completely expect. So I have to be more patient when it comes to the meets and just not get too jittery and too excited to get out. So it's just really interesting because Merrick has been doing a phenomenal job with it. Thank him for that, seriously. Because sometimes I can get a little too jumpy on wanting to do more than what I need to be doing before I get the handoff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
And we're talking with Elijah Williams, Brad Gamble from the CMU men's track and field team, RMAC Championships here in Grand Junction at the CMU Track and Field Center coming up this weekend. Elijah, you're from Gateway High School, Aurora. Tell us, take us through the journey of how you ended up coming to Grand Junction to become a Maverick.
Oh, man, this man right here, him and Coach Reitz. When I first started getting recruited, I was like, my Coach Whitmer was like, hey, CMU is really interested in you. You should check him out. I pulled it up, look at the times. I'm like, what? Like, CMU? Like, why would I even go there? You know, just completely prideful, and it was stupid of me. Anyways, they continued to reach out, and we started actually started talking. I was really nervous about actually taking the steps going to college just because that's what even a thought in our mind growing up at all. Like, I didn't believe that I would even be here or get the opportunity. So for them to take that step to reach out and be really persistent and actually go over there to meet me, sit down, have some dinner with me and my mom at TGI Fridays. I remember it. Yeah. Oh, it's such a blessing. And they would go to Mines whenever I'd have like one little indoor meet, running a 300 on Mines. For anybody that knows Mines indoor track, 300 is insane. Like, why would I even run it? Anyways, they just go. They were just spending some time with me, talking to me and building a relationship. And at that moment in time, I didn't really have trust in people, let alone guys, you know? So, like, for them to stay consistent and actually help build that relationship with me really meant a lot. So I made the choice to come check it out. Me and my mama, such a blessing. Thank you for that. My mom, I'm really grateful for it. Every time I see the memories on Snapchat, I'm like, I can't believe it. But they built a relationship. I got to meet some people from Aurora as well that were going here at the time, and just spent the night here, got to experience it, and I was like, yep, this feels like home. Then I went to other visits and stuff, and I was like, yeah, that just doesn't compare to here. And boom, here you are,
yeah. Redshirt senior with the Mavericks. And Brad, go back to when you first met Elijah and that meeting at TGI Fridays, and
right,
and the runner, the man that he has turned into here as a Maverick.
No, it was, I mean, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that was just my second year at Mesa. And like you said, like we were still trying to establish a track team. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, our sprints didn't really exist. Our jumps didn't really exist. A lot of things were just not quite the par of what we were hoping to become. And Elijah's that big piece that we're like, man, this guy's enthusiasm is impressive.
Right.
And he's really lived up to being an incredible anchor on not just the 4x1, but the team. And it's through his hard work that now we're the best sprint teams in the country. And I'm excited for them to show out this weekend.
And an All-American as well.
An All-American. Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's really cool. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? All-American.
It's pretty interesting. I need to give myself more credit for being able to get to that level. But whenever I sit back and I'm like, this is really cool. And being able to give my mom the All-American, you know, little plaque, it's nice. It's nice being able to give that to my mom.
It sure sounds like, you know, obviously Coach Gamble's played a big role in your life, but your mom. And
my mama.
And you're, everybody loves her mama. And kind of talk a little bit about what kind of role model your mom has been for you, how she's inspired you to accomplish the things you've accomplished here in Grand Junction.
She sacrificed a lot to help me and my family stay, like, keep a roof over our heads and have food at the table. Her and my oldest brother, Xavier, really grateful for them. They quite literally sacrificed their life to be able to give me the opportunity to come here and be able to do the things that I'm doing with Tootley Doo and becoming a financial advisor once I graduate. So it's just, you know those type of people when they say, like, people are paving the way and they're, like, you know, just carving out the path? That was literally my mom. And then it was next, it was my brother Xavier. And then I just jumped on and just continued to help pave that road. And it's really cool because it wouldn't be able to happen if it wasn't for them. And I'm really grateful for that because they help keep me strong whenever I'm, like, I'm exhausted, especially with the support that the coaches and people around me have on me. Yeah.
It's Mab Day, or Cuddlebutter Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, right across from Houston Hall. Brad Gamble, CMU track and field team with us, and sprinter Elijah Williams as well. I like to check people's bios out on the website. Some of the stuff doesn't always stay true. They change majors and things like that. But it has a quote on here. I'm a big fan of the little things in life.
Oh, yes, I am. That stays
what,
true.
What right now are a couple of little things in your life that are maybe not big things, but they're things that you really enjoy and treasure and cherish?
Flowers. When I'm walking around and just starting to see flowers bloom and, like, the grass turning green and the trees starting to blossom.
You're like,
well,
Ferdinand the Bull from the kids' book, where he just loved laying around looking at the flowers.
It's nice, you know, like, in a night sky, whenever I need to get away from, like, adulting in a sense, or, like, the busy life, I go to Canyon View Park and I just swing and I'm looking at the sky, looking at the stars. It's literally the little things.
I do like getting on the swings occasionally. I like to make sure there's nobody looking around. She's like, what's this old guy getting on the swings for? Yeah. I do like getting on a swing set occasionally.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable. Yeah. I'll get there when the sun's starting to set, so I can just watch that, and it'll be dark, and I'm just like, I needed this.
Need a little, just a little me time, a little time on the swing.
Everybody needs it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brad, I mentioned the RMAC Championships of this weekend over here on campus. What a thrill has to be for you. And like you talked about the development, when you recruited this guy, Elijah Williams, didn't really have a whole lot in terms of talent on the roster and things like that. You were still practicing at Stoker Stadium. Then there was the facility over at Grand Junction for a while. You guys practiced there. And then, of course, now you've been on campus for a couple of years. The culmination of all that, of now the RMAC Championships being here, kind of take us through your feelings on that.
Right, I think it's a really special and actually emotional weekend because, like 4 years ago, like our senior class this year will be the first class that will be graduating that had a college track to compete on. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference in recruiting, first of all. I mean, that was one of the reasons it was hard to get Elijah. It was like, hey, you want to come onto a worse track than what you have in high school? And so it was a very difficult process for my first 3-4 years recruiting. And so it is really special to see the seniors come through, have helped build. I mean, it's a track there, but it's a special place because of all the memories that they put on there from workouts and meets and that kind of thing. And so it's really special for us to be able to kind of show that off to our conference and mainly for our seniors, to really our whole team. This will be their, like, if they're competing in this championship, this will be their only time in their career they get to do this at conference, because it's every kind of 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think, a really meaningful thing to the coaches and the seniors, and very excited for it.
Well, certainly a talented team with guys like Elijah Williams here with us, and Miller Jones, local guy, Grand Junction High School standout. He was named the RMAC Field Athlete of the Week. Just, you know, has had an incredible indoor season, but also Miller, in terms of his long jumping, those things, he's had just a remarkable outdoor season as well.
Yeah, no, I'm and it speaks a lot to him. I mean, Miller was probably, I think he was top 8 in the country as a high schooler in triple jump, and so for us to be able to recruit him was a very exciting thing, and for him to be local and want to stick around. And that was kind of part of the special team that Elijah's helped build, is once he met the team, he's like, wow, I want to be a part of this, not just I want to stay in Junction. He was looking to probably get as far away from Junction as possible, but the team he fell in love with. But he has worked incredibly hard, and Miller is ready to have a phenomenal continue his outdoor season by long jump and triple. He's special.
And then stop at the women's team as well. You hope to have a very successful weekend with your women's team as well, and athletes like Josie Coffey.
Yeah. I mean, Josie, she graduated early last year, and it's so funny, as you go through college, like, you have a lot of athletes that are very motivated, and she was very motivated. And as a coach, you're like, you don't need to rush this college thing, don't you? You know, enjoy your 4 years. And she graduated in 3 years, and we were very lucky to she graduated and realized, like, you know what, I want to still do track. And so she came back this year, which is a really a huge blessing for us. And she's really had a good time. She's long jumped this year and triple jumped this year, and she's, if you would imagine that her freshman year, there's no way you would have envisioned her being able to do all these events. But her goal is to go, I mean, she can go, if she can go two more centimeters, she'll qualify for the Olympic trials. And we know she has that in her, and it's, yeah, she's pretty special to watch.
For you, Elijah, what are the goals for you after, of course, your time here at Colorado Mesa? You seem like a guy that's pretty you know, enthusiastic, energetic. You seem like you certainly have kind of a plan for life. Give us kind of a little insight in what's next for Elijah Williams after your track and field career comes to an end.
Yeah, a lot of soul searching, a lot of soul searching for me, but I was blessed with I was blessed to have the opportunity to go full time as a financial advisor once I graduate. So I'm going to be doing that as well as just going full force with Tootly Do. I'm in the process of building a nonprofit for bully prevention, specifically here in Mesa County. So I'm just going to figure out how I can actually take more and more steps for that specifically, and just be a resource for families and people overall.
Yeah. You talk about bully prevention. What leads you? What, you know? Why do you have an interest in trying to create some kind of nonprofit for that? I mean, it's obviously it's a huge problem. I, you know, I've had family members that have had to deal with that when they've gone to school. What draws you to that particular thing that's going on in the world that you'd like to address?
Growing up, I wasn't like specifically the normal individual. You know, definitely had my differences. I still do, and I'm really grateful for it. But like a lot of people just don't know how to connect, and they don't know how to see the other side of somebody's life, you know, like quote unquote putting themselves in somebody else's shoes. But just not many people know how to be comfortable with somebody else's differences and their culture and the way they do things. And if you really sit back and think about it, the way somebody does something and what they can bring to the table that's different than what you have can really help with the diversity of things. Mm-hmm. And I just think it'd be really important to help put that into school systems instead of just having a disciplinary program. How can we actually help rekindle connection and take steps towards where kids are okay with somebody's differences instead of making fun of them and thinking it's not okay just because the way they grew up?
Right. And sometimes those bullies, they've been bullied. They've had
no, seriously.
They've been the outsider, and this is their way of trying to restore some kind of power, I guess, in their lives. And so, yeah, I think that's a fantastic way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. I grew up getting bullied, and then I turned into the one that was bullying, and now I'm like, I want to help change that. Just because I've realized the amount of the effect that it has caused on both me and the people around me. I just don't want that to continue to happen, because it just reinforces loneliness, and I don't really enjoy when people are like feeling isolated and lonely and just feel like they don't have people around them. So it's just, how can we include more people together and just build
Sounds like
a community?
Fantastic idea. I wish you the very best on that. That's something we really need, not just here in Mesa County, but all across the country. Elijah Williams, Brad Gamble with the CMU men's track team. So give us the schedule, Brad, for this weekend for the RMAC championships. People want to get out there. They got the new box built that looks fantastic. Yeah. And I tell you, it's a fantastic facility that has come together over there, the Bergman Sports Complex.
Right. Now, everything kicks off on Friday. And so Friday morning, Hammer starts off, and it's kind of off on its own because it's a very dangerous event. And with it inside the facility, which is awesome. So as a fan, you can watch everything in front of you. But you need to be careful, because when you're hucking around a 16-pound steel rod, it gets very dangerous. But that kicks us off, and then day one is like the 100 and the 400 hurdles, as well as the decathlon start. So, as well as our high jumpers will open up. So it's kind of action-packed to get to start, and then we have two more days after that, and it just keeps on rolling. And Sunday is all final. So Sunday you'll show up at noon, and from noon to 5 is just kind of one event after another of 4x1s, miles, hundreds, 400s, hurdles, and just kind of goes down the line on seeing who the RMAC champs will be.
And I would think the new facilities had to be an incredible recruiting tool for you.
Yeah, 100%. It's the school is a huge, like, it's funny when you're in the Western Slope, it's a different connection from over in Denver. And every time someone comes over, they're always like, holy cow, I did not know this exists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that would only go so far until you realize you have to show them a track, and we didn't have one. That was tough. But so now we have a beautiful facility. We always have gorgeous weather, and there's just something. It's kind of like a golf course. There's something special about being outside and in good weather, being on a track, and it's a very beautiful thing. And that's my zen place. Some are swing sets.
Yours is your track, exactly.
but we feel very lucky to have what we have.
I mean, just to remind people, too, I mean, you have an incredibly successful indoor program as well. Yeah. I mean, that you're obviously part of Elijah, so.
We finished 18th this year, and we finished top 23 times in the last 5 years, and so that's been fun, and it's been all done training in an old abandoned Albertsons.
Albertsons, it's going to be a memory.
But those will be, honestly, the special memories that some of our seniors will leave. Yeah. Like, I can't believe we did that. But you know what? Training's training, and right. make it work. So once it's outdoor season, we're pretty excited about it.
Did you have them run down the aisle to grab some Fruit Loops or something that?
Yeah, we go from the dairy section down to bread and back.
Did a lot of training at Albertsons, six piece thigh.
Yeah, that was kind of where your training was.
Drumstick curls
was more in the deli section, if you will. That was kind of where your focus lied.
Of coleslaw.
Yeah.
Mine's just always sweets. Always like chocolate is. My thing. I cannot get away from chocolate.
It is hard
as
to get away.
As I am.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't look like you eat a whole lot of chocolate.
I get down with some chocolate.
But you, when you do, you do. You get serious about it. Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Get out and watch the RMAC Championships this weekend. Cheer on the Mavericks. Starts on Friday over at the Bergman Sports Complex. Brad Gamble, Elijah Williams, thank you guys so much for stopping by today.
I appreciate you having me.
All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Troy Moyer, CMU men's lacrosse coach. That's coming up. We're at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood. We'll be out here till 10 o'clock this morning. It's Mav Day on the Team Sports Network.
Is this thing on?
30 seconds.
Okay, let's get this show running.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
And welcome back to Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from the Colorado Mesa campus, featuring only Colorado coffees and beers. Of course, they have the beer flights here, ATAPs and new taps weekly. They have beer bingo tonight at 6:30. Make sure you check that out. And everything here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House is from the state of Colorado. So you're supporting local Colorado businesses when you come into Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Perfect place to kind of unwind after a busy day, or if you're getting ready to go watch one of the CMU sporting events, you can grab a coffee or beer here, and maybe it's to check out men's lacrosse this weekend. With us this morning on the program, Troy Moyer, CMU men's lacrosse coach, James Steinke as well from the Maverick lacrosse team. Guys, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, congratulations. You end up getting the number one seed, Troy. We were talking about that when you were with us a couple of weeks ago, and actually when you were on the program about the scoring differential, how it was going to work out in terms of trying to win the conference championship and the number one seed, and the 24-7 win over CSU Pueblo. You guys go out and nail down the top seed for the RMAC tournament.
Yeah, definitely something we were happy to do, and it always makes it easy when we don't have to add in last-minute travel at the end of the season. So hosting the RMACs at home here is always one of our goals, and I think it's great for our fans. Maybe I'm biased, but I think CMU puts on one of the better events, so we're happy to be doing it.
J.J. Brumman had 5 goals for you in that game. Of course, you're now 7-1. You'll officially be the RMAC regular season co-champions with Westminster, but we know you guys are the champs. We're not going to share it with the Griffins. No way, no how. But that was, like I said, that, you know, being able to go out and put up 24 goals on them helped you get to secure that number one seed and the chance to host here. And that is huge when you're at your place at Community Hospital Unity Field. To have that crowd, that home crowd support, is going to be huge for you at the RMAC Championships.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the 24 goals was great to put up on Pueblo. One, because it allowed us to host the tournament. But two, it just kind of filled us with some confidence offensively. It's always good when you get to see the ball go in the back of the net. And, yeah, we're hoping that carries over here this weekend, being able to host and have our home fans here. I mean, the past couple years that we've had home games, we don't have many. But when we do, the fans come out in droves, and it's awesome to see the stands filled and hear the energy from the stands. So,
Of course, got James Steinke as well from the CMU men's lacrosse team. And James, the chance to play at home in the RMAC tournament, kind of take us through what you're on the field, how you feel when you've got that kind of crowd support and how that energizes you and your teammates.
Yeah, obviously it's a lot more fun getting to have your family and friends. I'm from Denver originally, so my parents and family all get to come out, and all they got to do is to do a quick three-hour drive rather than either a flight to Salt Lake City or a drive to Alamosa, one of those places. So definitely good to just get another game at home. We always kind of just say it doesn't really matter where we play, right? We call ourselves the Road Warriors because we play so many games on the road. So used to not playing at home, but definitely happy to finally be back here and get to just hang out and hopefully win the whole thing.
Yeah, hopefully that'll be the case. Yeah. James, kind of give us a little bit of the background of how you ended up coming to play at Colorado Mesa and joining this lacrosse program.
So out of high school, I wasn't the most to start playing college lacrosse. I wasn't big into the recruiting process. And then my club coach, his name was Matt Bocklet. He played at Johns Hopkins. Just called the assistant coach at the time, whose name was Jake Padilla, who was a guy who played at Rutgers. And it was before Coach Moore was here, because I'm a fifth-year senior this year. And just called me up, offered me a spot on the team, wanted me to come play here. And I said, all right, I'll stay in state, play some lacrosse, and see how it goes. And half a decade later, here I am.
Host the RMAC Championships coming up this weekend. That trip to Florida back a couple months ago, that's where you really kind of prepare for this part of the season. What are some takeaways from that trip, even though it's been a couple months? You've played all your RMAC games, won the RMAC, technically tied, but won the RMAC.
Yeah.
What lessons do you take from those teams that were ranked, you know, receiving votes, top 10 teams, you can now apply 2 months later to RMAC playoffs, hopefully the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that helps us out is the fact that in those Florida trips, we play three games in 5-6 days, which is a lot. Your legs get tired, your brain gets tired, and so the RMAC tournament is back-to-back, where we play Friday and we play Saturday. So kind of just being used to playing one game after another and just being ready to go. Having a short memory, if you make a mistake, move on from it. Know there's another opportunity out there, just kind of like on those Florida trips.
James, thank you with us today. Midfield attack, senior for the Colorado Mesa men's lacrosse team. Honorable mention All-American. Also, RMAC Midfielder of the Year back in 2021, 2022. So during your time here in Grand Junction, James, you've racked up quite a bit of hardware.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've loved every moment of it and happy I get to do it for this extra year.
For you, when did your love of lacrosse begin? How'd you get into lacrosse? What was the thing that drew you into the game?
Yeah, I was a hockey player when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old. And then my brother started playing when he was in like third grade. And he went out and played with all of his buddies, and I was super jealous. I was in kindergarten at the time, and I was like, I want to try that out. So I strapped on my hockey pads and went out to a lacrosse practice and tried it out, and looked like a total goofball, but just fell in love with it right away, and then started focusing on it. Honestly, from there on, it was my favorite sport and my main sport.
Now, we should acknowledge, too, that in terms of Maverick history, you're fourth right now in career points all time. So, I mean, you're one of the best players to ever put on the pads for CMU lacrosse.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been an honor. I got a lot of good teammates, good coaches. They keep giving me opportunities. And obviously, I got an extra COVID year, so that helps me get some extra points there. But, yeah, it's just been super fun.
Troy, since you've been coaching James, where have you seen maybe the biggest growth in terms of what he's worked on and developed as a lacrosse player?
Yeah, I could tell you some stories about James when he was a freshman, but I'll save those for another time maybe.
Tell him now while he's sitting here. This would be perfect.
He knows what I'm thinking exactly. But, no, I think the biggest thing that I've seen in James is he's always had the talent. He's always been able to get the job done on the field, and it's really been kind of the maturity piece that comes, you know, when you're moving from being a high school age player up to college, and now he's a grown man playing his fifth year. The maturity that comes with understanding decision making, and then also just being a good teammate, right? I think it's easy when you're in high school to always be the best player and have everybody look up to you. You come in as a freshman, and now you're kind of just amongst the other good players. James's talent level has always allowed him to kind of even that playing field, but now knowing again what it takes to be a true leader on the team and help his younger teammates out, the underclassmen, and bring them along and really make this thing something that's going to last well after he leaves, you know, and leave his legacy on the, not just in his points, those records, but also just in kind of the whole demeanor and the mentality of the team moving forward. So,
what's the future for you, James? Professional lacrosse, or is that something you're kind of hoping to get into? Moving on to a career, what's kind of the plan for you?
Plan right now is career. My dad works in real estate. Plan is to go home, work with him in real estate. But professional lacrosse is tough to get into. Right now they have the PLL and the draft for that. Right now they take like 32 guys. They take 32 guys out of Division I, Division II, Division III. And so it's just really tough to get into. So I wish, but I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, it's like you got a tremendous backup plan, though.
Yeah.
For what you're going to do with the rest of your career and the rest of your life. So it's Adams State on Friday. Give us a little preview, a little scouting report on Adams State.
Yeah, I think they're gritty. I'd say that, you know, they're a type of team that doesn't quit. They might not always have the depth that some of the other teams they play have. They might not have exactly the same talent, the amount of left-handed players we have in Westminster halves. So that makes things challenging for them, but they're never going to quit. Those guys are going to go out and play to the end. And we actually just played them this past Friday. And saw that same thing. We got up on them and opened the door a little bit. They started putting the ball in the back of the net. So they're going to make sure that they take care of their opportunities. They're a bunch of athletes and you know, more than capable of playing top lacrosse. It's just the depth. So if we can get on them early, kind of keep the foot on the gas, and then, you know, I think utilize our depth and let it run, I think we'll have a pretty good time on Friday.
How much of that nothing to lose nature that Adams State probably comes in with, because I mean, everybody's looking, Saturday is going to be you and Westminster. They really have nothing to lose. How dangerous does that make them?
Yeah, I think it makes them more dangerous than people realize, right? Even like you kind of mentioned, everybody's kind of penciling in us in Westminster because that's what it's been. And I would actually say nobody should be taking Concordia University Irvine, the other team that'll be playing on Friday, for granted either, because they're tough competitor. But you know, when you get a team that kind of has that underdog mentality, I think they're dangerous, right? You have to respect everybody, fear nobody, but respect everyone. And I think Adams State will definitely bring it to you if you overlook them.
At 7 o'clock Friday night, Community Hospital Unity Field, Colorado Mesa Lacrosse takes on Adams State. Get out and cheer on the Mavericks coming up on Friday night. I do want to mention Dylan Checkitz for you, RMAC Defensive Player of the Week. He's had a sensational season for you.
Yeah. Dylan's another guy who I think his entire career has been pretty successful. He struggled a little bit. He's facing some injuries this year that he picked up. And so it's really good to see him kind of get back to form. I think he's feeling more confident in himself moving forward. And so that's going to be huge for this weekend as well, if we can keep having him win at a pretty high clip. So.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming in. And we have actually for Herd Trivia today, a CMU men's lacrosse question.
Uh-oh.
All right. Don't answer it, guys. Okay, don't answer it. All-time career points leader in CMU men's lacrosse history. Mentioned James is fourth, so James is not the answer. James Steinke is not the answer. Is it Steve Brandenburg, Jack Griffin, A.J. Switzer? Correct answer to our text line, 970-242-1340.
He was ready to answer.
I was.
James, no. Sorry, James. I wish you could. I wish you could. It seems very unfair if we let you win this thing.
Fair enough.
It's a beer or coffee a week for a month from right here at Cutler Craft Coffee and Beer House. Your all-time men's career points leader in CMU men's lacrosse history. Is it Steve Brandenburg, Jack Griffin, A.J. Switzer? Got multiple choice, folks. You're going to come up with it. Even if you don't know CMU men's lacrosse intimately, you're going to at least have a decent shot at it.
You've got a 33% chance.
Thank you, math boy. I appreciate that.
Right. Do what I can. per week.
So send your answer in right now on the team line, 970-242-1340. Once again, if you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. That's how the whole thing works. But once again, who is the all-time points leader in CMU men's lacrosse history? Jack Griffin, Steve Brandenburg, or A.J. Switzer? Send your answer in right now. Troy's like, James like, we'd like to answer that, but sorry, guys. I wish you could.
Once we go to break, they can answer.
Yeah, after we go to break, answer as much as you want. All right, so send your answer in right now on the team line, 970-242-1340. Coming up, The Maverick football team has their spring game this Friday night over at Stoker Stadium. We'll talk with Miles Cochaver coming up next. This is Mav Day on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
And welcome back to Mav Day at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, right across from the Colorado Mesa campus, featuring only Colorado's best coffee and beer. And they're open Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 8, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 to 9, and then Sunday from 8 until noon. 16-ounce coffee, 16-ounce beers, and mentioned all their products are from Colorado. They have 8 taps of new taps, new on-taps weekly. And then tonight they have beer bingo at 6:30 and then trivia nights every Friday night at 6:30. And if you want to just bring some food in from any of the local restaurants, you can do that. So you can bring in your own food and enjoy the great coffee and beer here at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Once again, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from the CMU campus. We continue with Colorado Mesa football. Miles Cochaver's with us. Miles, always great to see you.
Oh, good to see you guys today.
So spring ball getting ready to wrap up. Got the spring game on Friday over at Stoker Stadium. And give us kind of your impressions of what you've seen from your guys throughout the course of the morning practices, spring ball. You know, a lot of movement on your roster, obviously, like everybody with the transfer portal, but also a lot of new guys coming in that you recruited as well. And you'll see a lot of those high school players, of course, when fall ball rolls around. But give us kind of a feeling of what you've seen from your team. We'll start offensively, what you've seen from the Mavericks during the springtime.
Well, this has been a really fun and competitive spring. So by far the most competitive that we've had since I've been here. So it's fun watching these guys being able to go out and compete. And, you know, we had to kind of forge a new identity. We knew in order to get where we want to go, it starts up front. And we're finally at that spot where we had some competitive depth this spring. And guys are pushing and fighting for starting spots. And it's all the way across the board. And, you know, a big growth in the offensive line as we look at it. And a lot of that contributes to those guys playing a lot of snaps last year. We had a lot of young guys play as true freshmen. And so it's been fun watching those guys kind of mold their identity and be able to get after it. And then bringing in some quarterbacks has added some great competition in the quarterback room. And when you have that, I think everybody's kind of on high alert and they're pushing themselves every single day. So it's been fun to watch. And then I think a group that's been really exciting as we've gone through it, the running back room. Those guys are coming and with a little bit different style and mindset each day that they know they're going to be dependent on to be able to get critical yardage and just identifying what we need to do and being able to protect the ball and doing some things with those guys, they've kind of really driven this thing home. So it's been fun watching them.
Let's start with the quarterbacks. Of course, Gavin Herberg played the bulk of the snaps last year. Leslie Richardson also saw some time there as well. Kind of take us through what you've seen from your quarterbacks during the spring.
Yeah, you know what? The growth in Leslie has been huge. Just now having him here in the program for 2 years and watching him just kind of fine-tune and develop all the tools that he has. He's a very talented guy. You know, and he's surprised a lot of us this spring. He last Saturday had a big run of 70 yards. And so when you get a big body moving that way and other guys bouncing off of him, you got to wrap up. And so he's not only done it with his arm, which we know he can make all the throws, but also with his feet. He's made some great reads. And he just became much more well-rounded this spring. So it's been fun watching him. And, you know, that comes with that competition in the room. And we brought in Liu from San Diego State, a kid that's out of Utah, won a state championship, was on the roster over there at San Diego State for the past couple years, and found a home here at Mesa with us. And he's just brought in a professionalism. You know, he's very fine-tuned in what he does, understands how it's supposed to all come together. So he's kind of been leading that group in a different way, which has been fun to watch. Then also Cole Hansen came in from Minot State. Cole was a Arapahoe kid that won a lot of football games, you know, started from sophomore, junior, senior season over there. And he just came in and competed every single day. And then the development of Brock Bider, a guy that just, for whatever, he is a gamer, man. He gets after it. He might be a little bit wiry, skinny. Whenever you think he can't do it, he finds a way to get it done. And the guys really rally around Brock. So it's been fun watching those guys. And then, you know, we've had the addition of Tyler Harms came in at mid-year. So coming up from Durango and being able to get some quality reps is just going to help his development as we continue forward here.
Had a chance to watch him play against Palisade, athletic quarterback, really good in the run game, and obviously I think still has some room to grow in terms of being a passer. But I think he's a really talented young player. Maybe not this year, but down the road they could really develop for you.
And you know sometimes those guys come in early and they're kind of like fish out of water. But he's been calm, cool, collected. He's done a great job of taking advantage of the opportunities that he's got this spring. And it hasn't been too big for him, so it's been fun watching him compete.
We're talking with Miles Coach Aver, Colorado Mesa football coach. Spring game is this Friday, and we'll dive into that more coming up in just a few minutes. You mentioned the running back room. Give me some of your thoughts about you like the competition. You like what you're seeing, some different styles in terms of the backs that you have this year. Give us maybe a highlight of a couple of guys that have really stood out so far for you, Miles.
Well, and we've been pressing as a team to find our leaders. And, you know, I think that's kind of developed in that running back room. Unfortunately, we lost one that I was expecting big things from this coming year. Got a little bit of playing time last year in Ian Dexter. Fortunately, we got to get his knee checked out and find out exactly what's wrong with him. And, you know, my gut kind of got sick on Saturday and came down awkwardly on the turf. And it happens, so, you know, we got to kind of move forward. But that room and Sean Kidd has done a great job in just leading every day, not only on the field, but in the weight room, in the classroom. He's doing a great job in everything that he does. He brings a lot of energy, and he's just kind of leading the tempo and the pace of that room. And then got a couple explosive guys that can really take the top off, and Brandon Belgrave and Miles Newble. So when those guys have got a hold, they've been able to take advantage of it and shoot through there, and then everybody's chasing after them. So you like to see that on the offensive side when you got some guys that can create some explosive plays.
Flip it over to the other side of the ball, your area of expertise, your forte. What's the defense look like for the Mavericks this year? You talked about building the offensive line. How's the front for the Mavericks shaping up?
Well, you look at where we were at last year, and we had some film on. We were comparing some calls and some things that we were doing. And, you know, we're looking at a defensive front that last year that probably averaged about 220 pounds across the board. And just the growth that those guys have had in just 6 months. Now, this spring, they're going from 220 to 250 to 260, and we're growing. We're getting bigger. And then just like the O-line, those guys had a lot of experience. And it starts up front. We've got to be physical. We've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage, put pressure on the quarterback. Those guys have taken great onus in it to come out and get it done and get better every single day. And, again, another group where we've had some depth now where those guys are really competing and they can feel the pressure each and every day. And I think that starts to really sharpen us up as we go. So it's been fun to watch that. And then you got a pretty experienced secondary. You got four guys that come back that took the majority of the reps last year, and they continue to grow. And we're nowhere where we need to be, but the growth has been instrumental as those guys now start to understand it, can put us in the right spot, put us right coverage, do all those things because they've seen a lot of football and they've played a lot of football. And then I think we got some exciting linebackers that really run well. And that can help us really stretch the field and not let it get vertical on us.
And then a player like Cash Bradley, as you mentioned, in that secondary, a lot of experience, started as a freshman, also big factor in your return game as well.
He is, man. He's done nothing but great things since he's been here. And he's a guy you don't hear from every day. He's just quiet, goes to work. And then, you know, Jakari's really stepped up in a leadership role on the other side. And another guy that I'm looking forward to being able to get him back in the return game this year and show off some of the stuff that he's able to do. I think he's at that point now. And then you return a guy like Jason Tomei at safety. Yeah. And Tomei, you know, he had an opportunity and I think kind of got shunned a little bit and didn't get freshman of the year. When you look at a guy that had 5-6 interceptions, started every game, you know.
One of the top interception guys in D2 football, not just in the RMAC, but in the entire country.
Exactly. And so I think he's got a little chip on his shoulder and he's flying around and doing a great job leading back there. And then also, you know, you get back a guy like Sway Lee, Lebon Shangolo, that has played a lot of football. We got to keep him on the field. He's developed a target for the refs here. So playing smart football has been our focus with Sway throughout this spring.
Going back to the offensive side, Tom Thanell going back to the front range to coach at Bear Creek again, and Tom did a great job while he was here. Of course, Trevor Wickery was the run game coordinator, part of that that duo with Tom. Tom was the pass game coordinator, Trevor organizing the run game. Now that Tom is gone, how does that situation work now with the offensive coordinator position? With Trevor taking over that whole job, how does that work now? How's that impacted maybe what you do offensively?
Yeah, you know, we knew what we had to do when we came in, so it didn't really change our path whether Tom was here or not. Tom did a great job of putting some things in place that we could build on and continue to develop as an offense. And then it's added a load to Trev, but he's stepped up, man. He loves football, and he's just kind of bought it, and he's excited for this opportunity. And then it's expanded the roles of the offense. We move Anthony Hill back over to quarterbacks, a position he's coached before, a position that he's played at the highest level. So it's been fun to watch him, you know, kind of sparked a new excitement for him. And, you know, then we got to get more out of Coach Holmes each and every day. And that's he loves it and embraces that to be able to go and get after those receivers. So and Mason Schultz, a young coach working with the tight ends, it's expanded his role. And then John Schultz has been with us a longtime coach over at Grandview High School. And, you know, we're just lucky that we have him as a resource day in and day out, a guy that loves football and loves just watching these guys develop, and he's added great value to that offensive side of the ball.
So the spring game is Friday at Stoker, 4:00. Give us kind of the details of what people can expect when they go over to watch the Mavericks get a preview of the 2024 season.
Well, same as I told these guys as we finished up this morning, man, we got the majority of our work has been done. We've got a non-padded practice left on Thursday, and then we'll go over Friday and have one last opportunity to just kind of put a cap on spring ball. More of a celebration. These guys have put in a lot of work, not just in these 15 practices, but since the time that we got done in November. It started right away. These guys had a mindset of where they want to go, and I feel they're really working to get to that championship level football that we're just straining for every single day. And that's what's been fun. So now let's have a celebration. Let's go out, showcase what we've been working on this spring, opportunity to get together and just go over to the stadium and have some fun. And then kind of cap that off with a reverse tailgate party. So that's kind of the deal, to be able to bring back some alumni. We'll bring up the new freshmen that are coming and just kind of get everybody together and, you know, celebrate the work that these guys have put in this offseason.
So for the public, the scrimmage is free. Give us kind of the sense of that tailgate, that reverse tailgate party, how that's going to work.
Yeah, so the as we go, scrimmage is free. We'll be starting right at 4:00. So it's going to be nice and hot, be able to get after it over at the stadium. So everybody's welcome. Come over, check these guys out, all the hard work that they've put in. And then directly following that, so roughly 6:00, we'll have a tailgate already ready to go over there. And that'll be $50 a head to be able to come in, get a plate of barbecue. Lucky to have the great support that we do here in the community. Mike over at Rib City is doing it up. He's smoking all the ribs, taking care of that for me. Jay over at Fisher's Meat Market is doing all the pork butts. And then we'll have hamburger or hot dogs as well, so you can kind of pick your plate. But we've got to raise some money. We've got a big trip coming up this year. We've got to be able to fly and charter over to Texas A&M Kingsville. So we want to start the season off right, treat these guys to what they deserve. And so all those proceeds will go to that flight,
right,
making sure that we can get down there and we're doing things right.
All right. So once again, that starts 4:00 on Friday, the reverse tailgate party at 6:00. I'm imagining what, over the Lincoln Park Barn, that area, or where is it going to be?
Yeah, Miles? We'll have that fenced off a little bit, so we'll have the barn open. We'll have some, you know, Phil over at Central Distributing doing a great job, and we'll have a beer garden kind of set up over there on the backside of the barn. We'll have some bags. We'll have some tailgate games going in the right there in front of the barn. So we'll have that fenced off. We'll have some silent auction items. Just some stuff to kind of celebrate, and then we'll also do some announcement of captains coming out of spring. We'll have some of the players talk and coaches on each side of the ball just to kind of give you a rundown of where the team's at. So it should be a fun event. Looking forward to seeing a lot of faces and support throughout the Valley.
All right, so once again, that is Friday night. It's going to be 4:00, and the reverse tailgate party at 6:00, $50 for that, by the way. To get some great barbecue or a burger or a dog. And, of course, like you said, you're raising money for that trip to Kingsville coming up to open up the season for the 2024 campaign. But, once again, that's this Friday, 4:00 over at Stoker Stadium. The scrimmage is free to attend, by the way. So make sure you get over there and enjoy it coming up on Friday. So I guess, Miles, just kind of wrap things up here. It's now, 3 years you've been here in Grand back in Grand Junction coaching the Mavs. just kind of some thoughts as you now are into a third season coaching CMU.
Oh, you know, how to kind of sit back and reflect the other day of just where we're at and the growth that we've had. So it's been awesome, man. I think it's kind of starting to really come to the forefront, come to light, watching these guys develop, not only on the field but off the field. These guys have bought in to being better men and watching them grow each and every day. And, you know, we haven't took a lot of shortcuts. We have some transfer guys that have came in, but we've been developing players day in and day out, and Coach Linscombe's done a great job in the weight room, and then these guys getting involved in community service throughout has just been awesome. And, you know, we'll have that same day or Thursday, actually, day before, these guys will be over, and they'll be teaching a class over at Nisley Elementary. And so just watching them continue to grow and everything that they do has been awesome.
All right, fantastic. 4 o'clock for the scrimmage on Friday over at Stoker Stadium. We still don't have a winner for Herd Trivia. All-time points leader in CMU men's lacrosse history. Is it Steve Brandenburg, Jack Griffin, A.J. Switzer? Get your guess in now. You want a coffee or beer, one a week for a month from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Get your answer in right now on the team line, 970-242-1340. Once again, our question today, Herd Trivia, all-time points leader in CMU men's lacrosse history. Is it Steve Brandenburg, Jack Griffin, A.J. Switzer? Get your answer in now. See you back here tomorrow at 7.